Hello, this is Sid Roth on location at Redding, California, where there's an outbreak of miracles, over 1,000 so far. Judy Franklin, who had 45 years of an illness, healed instantly when she touched the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. And I'm here in Redding, California at Bethel Church. Outbreak of miracles. And if you really want to get the goods on what's going on, you don't go to the pastor, you go to the pastor's secretary. And that's who I have here, Judy Franklin. Judy is a young girl, 4 years of age, a tragedy hit your home. Tell me about it.
My mother was painting the living room and she had poured some paint thinner in a cup and left it in the kitchen. And I had gotten up from a nap and thought it was water and drank it. I started choking and my mother grabbed me, and we didn't have a car at that time. So she ran outside and stopped a neighbor who was just driving by, and they rushed me to the hospital and I had my stomach pumped. And they thought they got it all out. But the next day I became very ill. My whole urinary tract was an infection, was raging, and I was very sick and almost died.
Well, you actually had 45 years of chronic problems. What were these problems?
Bladder and urinary tract infections, anywhere from 5 to 15 a year. The doctors didn't know why they came. Nobody thought that it was from when I drank the paint thinner. They said, oh no, that wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know why, and I had all the tests, and they still never knew why.
And what would this mean practically to you? How would it affect your life when you had this infection?
I was frustrated, because even taking antibiotic, I would take the full course of antibiotic, be off a week, and I'd have another infection. And I didn't know what they were from, so I couldn't do anything. I just had to live through them, which I did for 45 years.
But, I mean, were you able to work when you had these infections? Were you able to function normally?
No, they were bad. And usually what I ended up doing was going to bed, laying flat, drinking lots of water on antibiotics. And they made me very nervous, so I shut the door and kept it as dark in my room as I could.
You had a problem with your parents, and even, I mean, it's hard to believe, you actually were told that your grandmother put that paint thinner there?
No, my grandmother told me my mother put it there on purpose so that I would die because I was no good. And so that was just something she told me.
That's an awful thing for a child to, so there was definitely a love problem at home.
Yes. My father also would tell me that I couldn't do anything right. And so, and when I was I was 9 years old about, I wrote Dear Abby a letter. And I asked her why my dad hated me so much, because I tried so hard to be good. And my mother found the letter and took it to my dad. And I thought, oh, he'll say, oh yes, I do love her. She just does things wrong. But he bellowed out at the top of his voice, if she weren't so stupid, maybe I could love her. And so I thought, that's why I can't be loved, because I'm stupid. And as a child, you do stupid things. But every time I did something that I considered stupid, I thought, this is why nobody can love me. And I grew up that way, not thinking anyone could love me.
This played out in your marriage too, I understand.
Oh, yes. I tried very hard around my future husband to be very good and not be stupid, because he was a Christian man. And I knew once we were married, he would find out I was stupid. But at least we'd be married. And I know he didn't believe in divorce as I didn't, and so he couldn't divorce me, so at least I would have somebody.
It doesn't sound like a lot of joy going on in your life.
No, there wasn't.
Okay, so you started going to Bethel Church in Reading.
Yes.
What happened next?
Well, I had gone to church since I got my driver's license because my family wasn't Christian. And I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 9 years old through a program in school. But I thought about God the same way as I thought about my dad, that if I did something stupid, he wouldn't love me. So it was this, okay, I'm going to be in heaven, but I'll probably be in the corner, and he just really won't love me, but at least I'll be in heaven. That was enough for me. I was satisfied with that. But because of going to churches and the hurts that you have and the dryness that we had actually stopped going to church 2 years before I had started coming to Bethel. And my daughter was going here, and she kept saying, come to church, come to Bethel. And I had another infection. And she said, come, God will heal you. And so I wanted to go. I wanted to be back in a fellowship. And so I let her talk me into it. And I came to church, and the sermon was very good, and they asked for people to be prayed for. And my daughter Susie came back and got me, and I said, no, I don't have to go up. God can heal me right where I'm sitting. I don't have to go up there. And I let her take me up there. And I remember standing with the chair against the back of my leg so I could sit down really quick in case nobody came to me to pray.
Boy, you really felt rejection.
I really did. And I was embarrassed that I was even up there, and I thought, nobody's going to come to me to pray. This is so stupid I'm even up here. Pastor Bill and his wife, Benny, came up and prayed for me. And I felt so bad because I hadn't been to church, and I was so dry. I had been in the desert for about 12 years of spiritual desert, and I figured they could see sand coming out of my mouth and ears and they'd know. But they started praying for me, and I can remember looking down thinking, how am I going to get out of this? I don't want to talk to them. I don't want them to talk to me. I was so embarrassed. And I thought, I'm going to watch their feet. And when they walk away, I'll just go out the back and I won't ever come back. They'll never see me again. But God had a different idea. And he reached down inside of me, and he started pulling something out of me. And I can remember seeing something like a big Boston fern. And I saw a hand reach down at the bottom and just twist it and pull it out. And it was all this anger that I had had towards the church and towards people in the church. Not any particular church, not any particular person. Just anger for what the church had done to people. And he just ripped it out. And there in the soil, I saw three words written: resentment, bitterness, hatred. And I realized that's what I felt towards the church. And they were my sin.
What'd you do about it?
I confessed my sin. And he was faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I saw his hand peel up those words and just throw them away. I knew something was different. I started coming to church every time they had church. And really, it was wonderful. I felt a big load was off of me. And in Toronto, they were having an intercessory prayer conference.
But let me tell you something. In Toronto, she got much more. You heard about Pentecost, where they accused them of being drunk, but Peter said, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, it might have been 9 o'clock in the morning at Pentecost, and it might have been 9 o'clock in the morning for Judy, but they had to carry her out of there. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We'll return to more of Sid Roth and It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here, your investigative reporter, talking to Judy Franklin. the pastor's secretary from Bethel Church here in Redding, California, where we're doing these special shows. And she had a tough childhood, felt total rejection. No one loved her. It passed on to her husband, and it passed on to her relationship with God. As a four-year-old, she drank some paint thinner, turpentine, and she had bladder infections for 45 years that would just knock her out. And the doctors had no cure. So she went up to Toronto Airport Church, where they're having revival two times. The second time, she literally got drunk in the spirit. What happened the first time?
The first time I went, it was an intercessory prayer conference. I wanted to know how to pray for my boys because they weren't walking with the Lord. And I didn't expect anything at all. And people were laughing there, and that didn't bother me. And people were falling, and that didn't bother me. But the last day, the Lord just touched me in such a way. He started early in the morning, and you talk about being drunk. I can remember going in their bookstore and talking to Susie about the lesson that I had just learned. And I started laughing, and I couldn't stop. And I got behind this door.
Wait a second now. Was anything funny going on?
Nothing was
funny. What were you laughing about?
I don't know what I was laughing about. I was just, and it was so healing. There was just a healing going on. I didn't laugh that often, especially around people. And here I am in this bookstore, and I can't stop. And it wasn't a laugh like, oh, this is fun. It was God's joy. It was pure joy, just bubbling up out of me. And I didn't understand it, but it felt so good, who cared? And so I stepped behind this door because I was laughing and I didn't want anybody to really see me. I started sliding down the wall. I couldn't even stand up. And that whole day, oh, God just did such a work. Jesus was there so wonderfully. But that night I was worshiping and I had my hands up in the air and I was looking up towards heaven. And I heard Jesus say, "What are you doing looking up? I'm right here." And I looked down and he was standing in front of me. And I just took his hands in mine and started singing to him. And I put both of them in one hand and I was just going like this and I felt the nail scar in his hand. And he leaned forward and he said, "You know something? I did that for you." And it was just, that was it. I couldn't do much after that. I mean, I was just so touched that he would show himself to me. The next day we came home and the pastor's wife, Benny, had me get up and share on a Sunday night. And I shared, and I don't know if Pastor Bill prayed for me or not. I don't know what happened. All I know is I was on the ground. And the Lord just started doing another work in me, and I thought, I want to get up because I want to hear the next person. And I could not get up.
You were pinned to the ground.
I was pinned to the ground. I looked up at one point and I saw this God's glory. I know that's what it was. And I don't know why I know what it was, but I know it was God's glory coming down. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And it kept coming closer and closer, and I could actually feel it. And they tell me I was doing this. I was going back and forth because it was just running through my fingers. It was so beautiful. It wasn't solid. It was substance, though. And it just kept coming. And in his glory was his love. This love that I had never felt before. It was so incredible.
It's tangible.
It was tangible.
Well,
it
you know,
was
the glory,
substance.
The glory is described as a river, and maybe that's what you were doing. You were running your hand through the water.
Oh, it was wonderful, and it kept coming and kept coming. And this love grew stronger and stronger, and I realized that it was for me. He loved me. And that is the first time in my life I have ever felt loved, was that night. May 1st, 1997, I felt love. I thought, this is what it's like. I would look at people and think, I wonder what it would feel like to be loved. I knew I couldn't be, but I really wondered what it would be like. And I knew, and it wasn't just love for me, it was for everybody. It was for Saddam Hussein, it was for Charlie Manson, it was for everybody.
This isn't a natural thing.
No, this is a godly thing. It was so wonderful, and it just kept coming. And I felt such a weight press me down. And every time I took a breath, it would come. And at one point, I told him, I can't take any more. I can't. It became so bright, I had to put my hand over my eyes. But I wanted to see it, so I kept going like this, trying to look, but I couldn't. And I finally said, I can't take this. I am going to die. I knew I would die. And very slowly, without me realizing at first, it started going back. Got to be where I could look at it again. I could run my hand through it again. And then I realized it was leaving. I felt such grief. I called out to God, don't go. I want to go with you. I don't ever want to be out of this. This was so incredible. I would leave my life now gladly. Just take me. He didn't.
Obviously. And as a matter of fact, I feel that river that Judy is talking about, as she remembers what God did for her, that river is flowing. And I believe when we come back, you'll find out about not only a marvelous healing, but you'll experience a flow of God's river. Be right back.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm speaking to Judy Franklin, and I believe history is being made because I believe the river of God's glory is getting higher and higher and higher as she talks about the steps God took her through so that she could not only experience His love, but give His love, and she got a supernatural healing to boot. Judy, the second time you went to Toronto Airport. Tell me about it.
Well, we went in March of 98. It had been almost a year since I had gone before. And in that time, I knew God loved me because of my experience before. But I really didn't believe people could. And a lot of people here at church said, oh, I love you. But I knew that sooner or later they'd find out I was stupid, and they wouldn't. So we went back in March of 98. And it was just a wonderful time there. The first night, I was standing in the prayer line, and I saw Jesus walk up to me and just put His arms around me. And He kept them around me all week. But on a Friday night, we were going back to the hotel on the shuttle bus, and one of my friends, Claudia Perry, just whispered my name, Judy. And I looked over at her, and she said, I love you. She just mouthed those words. And it felt like something hit my heart. And I just leaned back and slumped down a little bit, and I thought, something's going on. What's going on? We got off the bus okay, and I got to the elevators. And I leaned against the elevators, and I thought, I'm shutting down. What is going on? I felt God's presence so strong that I knew it was Him. So
stronger,
I wasn't scared.
Stronger than what we're feeling right now?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, it's still getting stronger.
It is getting strong here, yes. And I was just standing there, and I could hear them calling me to get on the elevator, and I thought, I don't know if I can move. And Bob Perry, who is a big man, came and just lifted me up by my arms and took me in the elevator. And I knew God was doing this deep work, and it was almost like I could see Him doing something. And it ended up, I could not walk. I could not do anything. They had to carry me to my room. Now, I can be even more undignified than this, I'm sure. But
I don't know.
It was, I've often wondered if someone outside the renewal came to me and said, God doesn't work that way, how they would have stopped such a wonderful work in my life, Or they would have said, God could have done it some other way. Who are we to tell God how to do his work?
What kind of change occurred as a result of that?
Oh, my. Oh, my. Just being able to realize that I could be loved. They carried me to my room, put me on the bed. They all went to dinner. And it was like God came down and Jesus came down. It was just like Jesus was sitting on my bed, holding my hand while they did surgery on my heart. It was like it had been so damaged all my life, and they didn't decide to heal it. They decided to take that part that was so damaged and cut it off and give me a part of their heart. Not only could I believe that people could love me, and I did believe it, it was a revelation to me. The love that he put in my heart to love other people was supernatural.
It didn't go away.
It did not. Well, no, it hasn't gone away now, and I don't believe it ever will. It has grown stronger.
Bottom line, do you love your husband?
Oh, I love my husband.
Does your husband love you?
Yes, he does, very much.
That's not what you told me a few minutes ago.
But he does, and I know that now. And these people here at church, I know they love me. And it's such a new feeling for me.
And you know God loves you, but
oh, yes.
What about that problem of the bladder infections?
Well, I continued having them. In fact, from March of 98, when we got back from Toronto, to June 19th, I had 5 infections. And on June 19th, I had an infection so bad, it was a Friday night, I left the service and went into the dining room and laid down. And my husband came in and said, they gave a word of knowledge for pain in the lower abdomen. So I thought, okay.
So what I went back. What do you mean, okay?
I know. I should know better, right?
Right.
So I went back in, and everybody was praying for everybody else. And so I thought, well, there's nobody left to pray for me. So I just sat down. And my husband, Paul, called Pastor Bill over. And he came over and he said, Father, we come against the spirit of affliction. And so that was fine. And he walked away, and I thought, I wish he hadn't have prayed for me.
Why?
The pain got worse.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, oh. So I was sitting down and talking to his wife. And he came up and he says, how is it? And I said, well, truthfully, it hurts worse. He said, we've got it then. Said, okay. And he had Benny put her hand on my stomach. And he aggressively went after the spirit of affliction. Because we have found in this renewal that a spirit of affliction, if a sickness is from that, it will get worse. And so he came against it, and it was gone. It was gone. It was totally gone. I had been to a specialist 3 days before then, and he said, I don't know, understand, you've gone through the medication, you still have this, I don't understand this at all, I want you to go to another specialist. And so I kept my appointment on Monday after this, and I went, and he just gave me a very funny look and said, I don't understand why you're here. You have no infection. I said, but the doctor told me before I did. And he says, well, he was wrong.
45 years.
45
of
years.
Of problems.
Yes.
And the doctor before said you had one. He was wrong. Yes. How about the 45 years?
Yes. I had them. But this doctor wouldn't believe. I told him I was prayed for.
And that was even worse. You know, Judy, we've just got a couple minutes left, but I would like you to look at some men and women that feel they're not loved. And mm-hmm. would you let Jesus tell them how much he loves them
yes.
right now?
I know the love of my Father, and I know the love of Jesus. I know it passes all understanding and all knowledge that we could have. There is nothing that you have ever done. There's nothing ever you could do to earn his love. He has given it freely. Totally freely. He wants to have an intimate relationship with each and every one of us from love. We as a people don't accept love unless we do something good. We're real goal oriented here, but there's no goals that we can achieve that he would love us more than he does right now. And I don't care where you're at, I don't care what you're doing or what you've done. He wants to just love you. And I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would touch you right now, right where you are, right where you're listening right now, and show you the Father's love, because it is the greatest thing there ever was. And when we get to be with Him forever, the actual air in His glory is made up of this love.
I believe that river is flowing right now. That river is flowing right into you, right now, right through the television. Just open yourself up. You are loved. You are accepted. You are wanted. You are needed. You have substance. You have purpose. You have destiny. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you in the name of Jesus. And open yourself up to the river now.